Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up on a farm in southeast Minnesota and earned a BA degree in Bible studies from Maranatha Baptist University. He's been a salesman for God for the last 37 years. And today he's the senior pastor of Woodside Bible Church, which in 2009 purchased Canterbury Village to be used as its Lake Orion campus. His name, Pastor Doug Schmidt, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Pastor Doug Schmidt, senior pastor of Woodside Bible Church. Pastor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
Can we start by you offering an opening prayer this Easter evening?
I would love to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the meaning of it for all who follow you. Thank you for the resurrection and the hope that it gives to all mankind. The victory over death, the victory over sin, and Father, the hope and the power that we have to live. Father, I pray for your blessing on all those who are listening tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a great conversation here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Doug, what if we start with, you grew up on a farm in southeast Minnesota. You worked hard. You had great parents. Tell us about Mom and Dad, please.
Well, Mom and Dad were hard workers. They took us to church early in our lives. My dad was a farmer, big, strong guy, came out of Germany and knew how to work and taught all of us as kids how to work hard.
And Mom?
Mom, she was a hard worker as well, a gentle person who had a love for the Lord, a love for the Bible, and she was the one who first introduced me to a relationship with Jesus Christ.
You've stated that you experienced the greatest day of your life at age 8.
That's right.
What happened?
And that's what I'm referring to. That was when my mother shared with me who Jesus Christ really was and what he did on the cross for me. And it was at that time, at age 8, that I realized that I needed him in my life.
Pastor, what did growing up on a farm in southeast Minnesota teach you about being a pastor slash a minister?
Well, you know, the Bible uses a lot of metaphors for farm and farming. And I think it taught me, growing up in the farm, it taught me to work hard first. And then secondly, it taught me that not everything comes automatically, that we're so dependent upon God. Every farmer knows that. They plant and they can cultivate, but you pray a lot, waiting for the rain to come at the right time, the sun to come at the right time, and then the harvest comes later. So it takes patience and takes a lot of hard work, and it takes dependence upon God. And those are all great lessons for life.
Doug, by your own admission, you had a very poor self-image as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
How did you overcome that?
I think it extended way beyond my teenage years, Jack. I think even into adulthood and even into ministry years where I didn't think I had anything to offer God, and I thought that I had to work hard to try to please him, so I was in this performance mode. That helped me a lot as a young athlete because every event, every wrestling match, every football game was an attempt to prove my worth. But I think the turning point came really through a reading of the Word, the Bible, and also reading a book called Abba's Child, where I was reminded that my value and my worth wasn't based on my performance or what I did or what I didn't do, but it was based on the fact that I was born, made in the image of God, and my identity then was in Christ, that born again through the power of God, and that whether I succeeded or failed, my value didn't change. I was totally accepted by God.
I found it striking that you didn't mention every golf shot.
I can't blame God for golf, but aren't you glad our identity is not based on our score, our golf score?
How was it, Doug, you chose a vocation as a minister?
Well, good question. I'm not sure I chose it. It was something that was chosen for me by God, and I felt probably in my early 20s that God was directing me towards that. Again, I didn't think I had anything to offer him or benefit the kingdom at all, but I felt this this urge within that I wanted to serve him, and I love people. And God brought that all together in ministry calling. I spent the first few years of my life after grad school teaching in a college and a seminary, and then through three different interim pastorates confirmed in my life the call to work on a full-time with people, ministering the word.
At age 33, you get your first church. You become pastor at Ross Bible Church in Port Huron.
Mm-hmm. It was a great experience. I look back, and those people were awfully patient with a young guy who had a lot of wild ideas and a lot of energy. And we tried a lot of things, and God worked. It was 5 years, Jack, that I was there, and there were five incredible years of life change, not only in my life, but in the lives of others. And I look back with great appreciation to the people there who gave me a chance, and they were patient, along with a very patient God.
Looking back these last 30 years at being a pastor, what's the biggest thing you've learned in those 30 years?
Oh, boy. I think the biggest thing I've learned is how dependent I am on God. That while he's given me some gifts, everything is dependent on God. In fact, the scripture says, Solomon says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, those who guard it in vain. That I learned that no matter how hard I worked, if God wasn't in it, it wasn't going to happen. And so I think that's the biggest lesson I've learned.
Your flock has grown dramatically these 30 years. What's the biggest thing you've learned about people, your flock?
I've learned, that's a great question. I learned about people that we're all on this journey. And so many people, I think all people are good intentioned. They want to do what's right. And all of us act and behave in ways that are consistent with our value system. And I think the challenge of ministry is trying to encourage people to challenge their value system based on the Bible and God and his love for them. So I've learned about people just to love them, to care for them as God does, or try to as God does. We'll never get there.
We're talking to Pastor Doug Smith, who in 1991, something happened to him that changed his life, his family's life, and the lives of thousands of other people in Southeast Michigan. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Pastor Doug Smith, who in 1999 was named pastor of Woodside Bible Church. And the rest is history. Pastor, tell us about Woodside Bible Church.
I came in May of 1991, and it was a wonderful church. At that point, it was named a Troy Baptist Church. And a great group of people who loved the Lord, wanted to make a difference in the community. And over the years, we've been able to journey together and try to make a difference in our community and even around the world. So it's been absolutely fantastic, Jack, to be a part. It doesn't seem possible. It's completing 25 years here the 1st of May.
If you go to the website, www.woodsidebible.org, the very first page, and the first thing you say is, and I quote now, we know that the Christian faith is a journey.
It is. It is a journey. And it's a journey that's the journey of a lifetime. And it begins with coming to know Christ. coming to know him. None of us were born Christian. In fact, the scripture says we're all born sinners in need of a Savior. And that journey begins when our lives are intersect with the love of God through Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, and we give our lives in commitment to him. So that journey begins there, and really that's the beginning of eternity. An eternity where we live with him, and that journey is on this life that involves growing to be more like Jesus, living more like him. But the journey involves lots of ups and downs, lots of mountains and lots of valleys. And for the mountains and the valleys, we need the grace of God to get us through.
Your main campus is on Rochester Road, just south of M59. You have four services every weekend, Saturday at 5, Sunday at 8:30. 10 and 11:30, and then you've got 11 satellite campuses. How do you explain the phenomenal growth?
You know, I get asked that question quite a bit, Jack, and I wish I had a good answer. The only answer I have is that God has given us favor. He's given us opportunities. The people of Woodside are a people who want to take risks. I learned a definition of risk 35 years ago, and a risk should not be measured by the chance of success or failure, but by the value of the task. And when the task is to reach people or to make a difference or to bring justice in areas of injustice, it's worth it. And so our people have come to embrace that definition, and over the years have been willing to take risks. Not all of them have worked out well. We failed along the way. But along the way in this journey, God has given us lots of opportunities.
Pastor, how does one go about starting a satellite campus?
Well, some of our satellite campuses, we're one church in many locations, and some of those have started through mergers or adopting. In other words, there was a church that maybe had existed for a few decades and now had gone through a life cycle, and they were looking at perhaps closing down. That's not true in every case, but we would come alongside. They would call us and say, "Can we work together?" And so we would talk, and it would be like a marriage, Jack, where we'd talk about DNA, we'd talk about programs that would work, and we would become one church in another location. So it's been really, really good. So we have campuses all the way across Metro Detroit.
You and I met a number of years ago, and it was a great day, at least for me, through our late great mutual friend, yeah, Mike Feasey, the former president of WJR. Tell us about Mike Feasey, please.
Well, Jack, it was a great day for me when we met as well, and I've really enjoyed getting to know you more and being in your home many times. Mike Feasey was a very unusual man. I've known him for just a few years. He was one of those guys that just really loved people. He was compassionate. He cared about people. I don't remember a time where we had a conversation or a meeting that he didn't embrace me when we left and said, "Doug, I love you." And to have that kind of friend, and everybody who knew Mike, and I was one of thousands that would call him a really good friend, everybody knew him, knew that he genuinely cared about people.
He actually passed a year ago tonight. Mm-hmm. Hard to believe.
It really is.
And Susie's phenomenal lady, Peter, Sam, Jesse,
yeah,
great, great family. So, what's the basic message of the Bible?
The basic message of the Bible is God's story. A God's story of redemption from the world he created in perfection and innocence, and yet through the entrance of sin, man was distanced from God. And so God laid out a plan that he had developed before the foundation of the world to connect man and God again, a man who was a fallen sinner and a God who was holy and totally without sin. And the whole story of the Bible is God trying to communicate to man his plan, culminating in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to live amongst us, to show us the glory of God, and to die for us. And the Bible says God laid on Jesus the sins of the entire world. And then to people to come to reconciliation with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, and to live for him, and then and ultimately to live with him for eternity.
Anybody who meets you and spends an hour listening to you walks away saying, this is a world-class Bible scholar. If there's a listener tonight that doesn't know the Bible, hasn't read the Bible, and says, I should start, what would you say to that person?
I would say, Jack, the Bible is one of those books that you never touch bottom. I've been studying the Bible almost all my life, and continue to find new insights in the Word. Continue to grow. That it's a phenomenal book. The Bible is self-proclaimed to be God's book. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be competent, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's an authoritative book, and yet it's a practical book, giving us everything we need for life and practice. So I would say to anyone who hasn't opened the book, to maybe start with the book of John, one of the Gospels. The New Testament begins with four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And to start with one of them and be exposed to who Jesus was and what he did and why he did it, to learn the words, the works, the ways, and the words of Jesus. Maybe the book of John might be the one I would recommend.
Speaking of who he was a real person.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, just like us, in some ways.
He was a real person, and the Bible says he became fully man. When he came to earth, he cried, he wept, he laughed, he was hungry and thirsty, fully man and yet fully God, which meant his sacrifice on the cross was so important. If he was just man, it would have been just a one man dying for others, but as the Son of God and man, his death meant life, an eternal life.
We just 2 days ago celebrated Good Friday, today Easter, two of the three most important days in the history of the world. And our good friend Father John Ricardo says, the cross depicts the greatest act of love of all time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When Jesus died on the cross, you can only imagine the Son of God, who had no sin, to come and face the ridicule, the torment that we've seen depicted in movies that are hard to watch. He did all of that because of his tremendous love for us. One of the most quoted verses in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the extreme of love. He came so far to give up so much so that we might have life eternal.
Doug, when you see the cross with Jesus hanging on the cross, that's the greatest sermon ever given with no words, what does that scream out to you?
It does scream out to me love. It screams out to me love, but with a definition that so far supersedes anything we have today. For the love of Christ was so sacrificial, it was so unconditional. He did this knowing that there was nothing in return. He died on the cross that we might have life. And he took all of our sins. And I look at my own sins, Jack, and to think that God took mine, not only what I've done, but what I've thought. He took that all on the cross with him. And that beating was for me, that death was for me. So when I see the cross, I just see God's universal love, sacrificial, unconditional. And I see it for the world, but when I see the cross as you've depicted it, I see it for me.
We're talking to Pastor Doug Smith, Senior Pastor of Woodside Bible Church, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Masula, and we're with Pastor Doug Smith. If you want to learn more, www.woodsidebible.org. Today, Doug, we celebrate Easter. What's the basic message of Easter?
The basic message of Easter, I think, is so beautifully depicted. The empty tomb, the risen Christ, and the words of Jesus, as well as the words of the angels that morning, fear not, fear not. He said, and it's repeated again in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and verses 17 and 18. Because of Easter, because of the empty tomb, we don't need to be afraid of anything. He conquered death, and as a result, the empty tomb, and it gives hope. Because the Bible says Jesus, he was the first fruits of the resurrection. Because he came forth from the dead, we will as well. And we'll have an eternity, and we'll have life, and we'll have eternal life. But I think the message of Easter extends beyond eternal life. It gives hope to anyone who's ever lost a loved one, that they'll see him again. It gives hope to all of those who are going through difficult times and wonder, are we going to be able to make it? The scriptures talk, in fact, Paul said, I pray that I may know him and the power of his resurrection for life. That power of the resurrection to bring a man who is dead back to life after 3 days in the grave is that power that's available to us according to the word.
We're talking to Pastor Doug Smith of Woodside Bible Church. Speaking of fear not, the most used phrase in the Bible is be not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 365 times.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people today are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to them?
Well, Jack, you look around and there's plenty of reason to be afraid. I mean, this world is like spinning out of control, and it doesn't seem like anybody really has the answers to solve the problems of the Mideast, to solve the problems of the economy. We're certainly see it in the political world today, where the answers aren't going to come from politics. And I would encourage anybody today who is experiencing some fear because of what they see around us to put their hope in a God who is sovereign and in control, a God who spoke this world into existence, and a God nothing catches him by surprise. Let's put our faith and trust in him. The scripture says we have a refuge, a strength, and he's our strong tower. We put our faith in anything else, there's lots of reason to fear, but with God, there is peace.
A lot of people believe that Jesus was a great prophet, but not the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They're still waiting for the Messiah. What do you say to those people?
And I understand that. I understand that there are those people who look at Jesus as not fulfilling Old Testament prophecies. I would say, listen to the words of Jesus. Let him convince you. I think that's all I've tried to do over the years, Jack, in ministry. The scripture says, just lift up Jesus and he'll draw all men to himself. That there are some proofs that you can look at in terms of who Jesus was as a son of God, what he claimed to be, the miracles that he performed, and even the accounts of his resurrection that are well documented, that he did come forth from the grave. But I would encourage people to just go to the Bible and to read the gospel accounts of who Jesus was and let them decide for themselves after reading the scriptures. I think too many people over the years have rejected that which they don't know. And if we're going to reject Jesus, let's find out who he really is first.
Easter is a time of great joy for many, but also great sadness for some. They've recently lost a loved one. They've lost their job, cancer. Mm-hmm. What do you say to someone who's extremely sad this evening?
I think for those who are really sad, they've gone through some difficult times, and maybe this time of the year is difficult for them. And we experience the same at Christmas time. Well, it's a time of great joy. Because of loss, it's a time of sorrow. And I think I would say to them first that there is healing. There's the old expression that time heals all wounds. After working with people now for decades, that's not true. Time helps, but it's God who heals. And I think I would say to anyone hurting this time of the year, let God walk through that valley with you and run to him during this time and find healing and hope in a God who heals and can give hope again.
Pastor Doug Schmidt, in 1.5 months or so, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. That's the one day we talk about this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put him back in the drawer. Tell us about the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, one God in three persons. And the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force. He is a person, the Bible says, that came to us at Pentecost and lives in the lives of believers until the day of redemption, the day we see Christ. So the Holy Spirit gives people gifts. The Holy Spirit gives people assurance. The Bible even says that when we can't pray for ourselves, Romans chapter 8 tells us the Holy Spirit prays for us. When we're so discouraged and maybe despondent that we can't even form the words, that the Holy Spirit will form those words for us and pray for us. We could not live as followers of Jesus in our own power. He produces fruit in our lives, love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness. So the Holy Spirit is very, very active. And even when we're reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit will take those truths that we learn and apply those to our lives. So we're very, very thankful for the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church, and the coming of the Holy Spirit to live amongst us.
If you want to learn more, www.woodsidebible.org. I quote you again now, Pastor. The hardest job in the world and the most important job in the world, being a parent.
I think it is. I think it is because you got to do everything in real time. I look back and my children now are 35, 32, and 30. And I look back, Jack, and there are so many things I would love to have done differently. But you don't get mulligans on parenting. I'd love to go back and do some things and change some things. I think most of us as parents didn't do everything right, but nor did we do everything wrong. So I think it's a hard job, but I think it's one where we can't beat ourselves up for the mistakes we've made. We got to learn and grow and recognize that when we bring a child into this world, we bring eternity into this world. And that little baby will grow and will spend eternity somewhere, and we have to prepare them for the day when they'll stand before their Creator.
We had little firecrackers that we had to meander when we were growing up. Today, the minefields that these teenagers, young adults, face, unbelievable. How do they successfully get through those minefields?
I think every child, young person growing up needs to have an anchor in the Bible, that which doesn't change, truth that's certain for every age. I think they also need mentors. They need people who will speak into their lives and will love them through the difficult transitions. They need models, and those models are their parents. The model may be a student pastor. The model may be a businessman or woman that they look up to. But I think all of they need anchors, they need models, they need mentors. They need hope to know that they're going to make it, and God's going to use them, and God's going to protect them and walk through those valleys with them.
We're talking to Pastor Doug Schmidt, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a world-class Bible scholar, Pastor Doug Schmidt. Pastor, millennials, born from 80 through 2000, 80 million of them, 25% of our country. Every minister, every priest, every rabbi is pulling their hair out. How do we reach the millennials?
Jack, I'm still caught on that world-class Bible scholar comment. I don't even come close to that, but I am a Bible student and love the Word. And that's my desire for the millennial generation. What a great generation of people with energy, people with ideas, people who care. And I think oftentimes that generation gets ridiculed a lot. I love that generation. All three of my kids are in that generation, family members and so forth. And me as a pastor and we at Woodside are very concerned about reaching this generation. Putting together programs and strategies to have a special event, special services to reach the millennial generation and to channel all that energy towards eternal things. So that's our desire, Jack, and I know it's yours as well.
Speaking of reaching young people, giving them hope, one of your many initiatives, you and your flock, is the Dream Center. Please.
In the Dream Center, there are about 130 Dream Centers around the country. And a Dream Center is just it's a organization that tries to identify the top 3 to 5 needs in a community and reach those needs. And we've opened up a Dream Center in conjunction with our Pontiac campus as well as with our Warren campus. And Pontiac, some of the needs are so great. Food for every day. Literacy programs for not only children, students, but also adults. Transportation. Athletics. So all of these programs that we've developed, even dental and medical. So we've got a Dream Center in Pontiac, 830 Auburn Avenue, where people can get free medical and dental care. They can learn the basics of reading, writing. And also we serve about 650 meals a week through that location. So it's a wonderful way of reaching the real needs of people, and I think a sustainable way of trying to impact a community with real needs and with the gospel.
Another Christ-centered man that I really admire is Mike Timmis. And he recently told me that the dark is getting darker, but the light is getting lighter. Mm-hmm. And a little more than a month ago, we experienced a great light where thousands of special needs adults danced away a night, a prom night to shine.
Oh, Jack, that night is so hard to describe. It was a night to shine at Woodside. There were 200 and some events around the country, all funded in part by the Tim Tebow Foundation, to give special needs adults the opportunity for what most of them never had, and that was a prom night. And so 340 approximately special needs adults came to the Troy campus. People had donated gowns and suits, and it was an incredible night, starting around 6 o'clock and went to probably 10 o'clock with dancing and karaoke and just a lot of fun meal where these special needs adults were honored for who they are. It was a great night. I don't think anybody who came had dry eyes that night.
Limos were provided, food, and this happened through over 200 cities in America because of Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, a listener tonight says, Pastor, I'm old. My body's breaking down. I've fought the fight. I'm useless. I just want God to take me.
I deal with a lot of seniors who have that as a prayer. Lord, I'm ready. The scripture tells us in Psalm 31, our times are in his hands. And we wait for the timing of God and yet realizing that he knows what's best for us. And as long as he gives us life, he gives us hope, and he gives us a potential ministry and perhaps a reason to be here. And so to all of those people who are listening tonight who say, I'm ready, I'm old, I've lived life, I'm not sure I have any use left. And my encouragement to all of us who fit in that category is that we have use. We have the opportunity to be a blessing to other people, even perhaps through our prayer life, praying for family members, friends, to write notes of encouragement if we're able. We can make a difference no matter what age we're at.
This is the start of baseball season in another week. All us Cubs fans say, Lord, we're ready. A little humor after 109 seasons. Doug, how does one learn to surrender to God? When I meet someone who's truly surrendered, there's a peacefulness that radiates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they get the short end of the stick. They got issues. But how do I learn to surrender?
I think practically, I wish it were different than this, Jack. I think ideally we look at who we are, we look at who God is, and we say, my life is better in his hands than in mine, and we just surrender to him. I think practically, most of us have learned that the hard way. We've got into circumstances or situations of life where we thought we could handle it and will our way through it, or through our intellect or our prowess or our experience or education, only to recognize that I think God allows some things to come into our lives to help us to realize we were never meant to live life without him. And it's through those crises that oftentimes surrender can come.
In the Catholic Church, the Pope has said, this is the year of mercy. Talk to us about God's mercy.
Wow. How much time do we have? To talk about God's mercy, where he withholds from us that which we deserve, and his grace, where he gives to us that which we don't deserve. We could not exist without the God of great mercy.
As our time winds down together, could you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
I'd be happy to, Jack. And thanks for the opportunity to be on your program. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the life that you have given us. We're thankful that you are a God of mercy. We're thankful that you care about us and every need of our life, whether it be big or small. And Father, I pray for all of us who are tuned in tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would minister to us, draw us close to yourself, give us hope and life today on this resurrection day. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for Doug Schmidt, his wife Carolyn. What a shining example of a Christ-centered couple. Keep up the great work. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn.